Welcome, Sonia, to Writers Series.
Thank you, Sasha. Thank you for having me.
You have a very interesting story because you have been introduced to the field of writing through your profession, through your man-made profession, but how you were introduced to writing a series of four books to date, Leave the Little Light On series, is very interesting because each book represents a different phase of your life, derived from a different location. So could you please provide an overview of how did this come into your life?
Yes, it was quite astonishing, really. I've been an orthodontist for almost 25 years. On March 1st, 2020, I was lying in my bed and a man's voice, very clearly outside of my consciousness, said in my ear, "It's time to write." I had always been interested in writing. I had journaled very much as a child. I wrote poetry and I wanted to be a writer, but I went into the sciences because I felt my family came from, and we struggled a bit financially in my family, and it seemed a better solution for us, from a stable standpoint to go into something in science. And so when I heard this voice, I jumped up, I looked around. There wasn't anyone in my home, and I simply went to the shelf. It was quite unsettling, and I got a journal, and I crossed myself and said a prayer, and I sat down. I held the pen over the paper, and out came the title, "Leave the Little Light On" by Sonia Palek. And I thought, well, how interesting. I had no thought or plan to write a book, one book, let alone four. And what poured out of me that morning was the beginning of this journey. It was about a young girl, Athena. And quite quickly in the first page, I recognized that this was myself when I was three. And there was a moment where I was going to fetch my father, and he backed into me and burned me with his cigarette. It was an accident, but he was sort of very gruff about it and saying, "You're not hurt. You're fine. Don't cry." And sort of I realized, oh, this is very much the trauma of our whole generation, really, of being told, having our feelings invalidated and sort of being shoved to the side. And so I just went to work. I closed that journal. This whole story came out, and I thought, well, that was different. And I shut the book and I just went to work and I saw patients. And the next morning at 4 a.m., my eyes opened, and I had this moment in my mind where I heard the voice again, but it was inside my mind. It just said it was time to write. And I got myself up. I went to the book, and I thought, well, I don't really even recall what I wrote. But I sat down again, and the story just picked up where it left off. And it's written like fiction, although it's based on my life. It's written like fiction, so it's a very fast, sort of simple read, very gripping, and it's very much to put people in their feelings. The first book, especially, is Windsor, which is where I was born and raised, is set in the 70s and 80s, and so very true to the timeline. And it really is a different time, So I think when readers go into that journey, the start, they're really quite taken with the character and her whole story. So that's where it began for me. I mean, it went on for 15 months. I sat down from 4 a.m. till 5 a.m. and I thought what I thought was one book in four parts, because I was writing by hand in these journals, so I had no idea really what was a book until I dictated them into the computer, which took 9 months, and then realized they were four full books. Yeah.
Out of the four books, which represent different chapters of your life dictated by the locations, is there any particular book and location where you felt as a person you really had to overcome any fears and tap within your inner strength?
All of them pose their specific challenges, but most difficult to write was the first one. The first book is based on my childhood, on my very young childhood. And Athena, we see Athena, we meet her when she's three, and the book ends when she's 18. The books go through the present moment and sort of follow the girl on her journey. So from the start to the finish, she's from three till she's 50, and we follow this life all along. But the first one, because she's so small, because there's such injustice, it deals with very difficult issues, emotional issues, trauma, conflict, alcoholism, child abuse, separation, fear, very much from a child's standpoint, from their viewpoint. it's difficult to read as it was difficult to write. I would live the entire story as I wrote it, physically and emotionally. And so putting those words down, it was very cathartic, but it was very difficult. Book three, Dorchester, which is about a marriage, I would say was the second most difficult book to write, behind just a close second behind the first one. Yes. Because it was, you know, I don't want to be the spoiler, but it was that is one crazy book. So yeah, that was the second hardest, I think, to write.
You are also known as the advocate of love. Do you believe in soulmates, given your personal life experiences of going through divorce and also being a parent?
Yes, I do. I think that as I've gone through my healing process, where I went through a complete and utter loss in my life, I think of everything that I had any attachment to at all, be it people or things, locations, all of these things. And I just would do anything that and everything that I could to help myself heal. Any kind of journey, any kind of experience, any kind of method, I simply latched onto it and the next and the next and the next. And what it led me to was a very, very deep understanding of love. That's really what I've always been in search of. And I think every human is. And I believe that what I grew up with was not a good example of love, especially in society. I don't think society as a whole or the dysfunctional family, where there is judgment, where there is separation and ultimately fear is a way to express love. Love is the absence of suffering. Love is safety. Love is peace and acceptance unconditionally. And so I believe I am an advocate for this because I believe that it is what we are. I believe that we actually are love in an embodied form and that, you know, in terms of soulmates and our contracts with who we come here to have these experiences that, yes, these are all by design. What may look and appear to be suffering in one moment actually is simply a method for us to grow and to become aware of things that we otherwise would not ever have looked at in a different way so that we can, it can lead us to this understanding, which is ultimately peace.
You also touch upon the concept of closure. And do you believe that closure exists within us or does it come from the outside world when we're going through, whether it's the separation of a relationship or working through the demise of our loved ones, like our parents?
Yes, I think that in terms of the word closure, you know, it almost sounds like, I mean, we can just put a button on something and, or zip it up and just put it away. And I don't think in terms of our relationships, they really will just simply evolve into an acceptance. And where closure and accept could mean acceptance, this is sort of where I think true closure lies in just simply that we accept things as they are and not rail against them. I think that when we sort of look at our lives in this way as you know, what is basing this next step that I take, that it's important that we remember that we are constantly continuing. We are simply a continuation. We existed before in an energetic form. We came through in a spirit form into a body in this life. And we are leaving our bodies behind and continuing on in the energy of love. And I think that when we look at that, we realize there's no pressure. The pressure that we put on ourselves to have an answer or to, you know, make certain of things that really and truly, it's simply an acceptance that we need to seek.
During your writing process, how would you define your style of writing? Because you touch upon serious and lighthearted themes. Some people apply humor to navigate through those tough times, and other people are very matter of fact. They lay it out as how reality is. What type of style do you communicate your experiences through?
I think the style of writing that came through me was a very direct and simple one. It isn't flowery. It isn't overly verbose. It doesn't have a lot of lofty literary terms that you'll need a thesaurus to look up. It's one where we can very simply understand what is happening in the scene, what is, you know, what is being implied, what is being felt. And so really puts us in the moment. The style is in the present tense and it is in a God narrative. And I think that's important, an important distinction, that even though this is based on my life, it isn't a memoir. A memoir would come from this is me. And I think that the reader has a harder time embodying that character or that experience. When it's fiction, the reader themselves is also part of the God narrative, where we see everything, we understand everything, and we sort of, as the reader, also bring our stories to the interpretation of any fiction and then embody the character. And so in this writing, it is a very enticing read, I say, from an emotional standpoint. It will create empathy, radical empathy in the reader. So how exactly that happens, I'm not really certain, aside from the fact that the way that it marches through the present moment, and since you're always in the present tense, it doesn't jump to the future or foreshadow, and it doesn't reference back to the past and jump around. You're always just very present in the moment, that you're simply walking along on this journey and experiencing what the character feels and goes through, because they're very common shared experiences. I think that in keeping the character of Athena very real, this is something that has been expressed to me, that she is not a romanticized version of me or of a person. She is a written as a true human being, one who is, you know, brilliant and resilient, but also flawed and angry or selfish. And that in all these ways, we can see ourselves. And so she really represents sort of the best and the worst, but everything, all of it, all that we are. And so she's not like a hero, but a human. And I think that this is what is the style of the writing, that it lends itself to grabbing the reader's attention and keeping it.
One thing I found very interesting in the last year and a half is that I have crossed paths with a handful of writers who touch upon the theme of grief, but from personal experiences, whether they lost a loved one or someone very close to them. Do you have any guidance for anyone who's going through grieving a loved one's loss?
That is so difficult. It is because when we're here, we feel things so deeply. And this is, you know, as the uncertainty of it always weighs with us. I would simply reassure anyone, because I truly believe this with all of my soul, that there is only love and there is nothing to fear. That what we long for is to be with this person again. We will. And to comfort yourself with that fact that they're with you always. Anyone that's been on our journeys with us, that we've shared common bonds with and experiences with, is part of our journey as we continue on after this world. And that we came in with the plan to spend this time together. And so they're simply enjoying where they're at in the process. And they're watching and hoping that by being grateful for the time that you've had, by understanding that, you know, love in that blissful sense comes with this tax of loss or grief. If we're to lose that person, it's simply an emotion that is felt in a physical body. But in truth, that's only in this plane. That's the whole purpose, which is to know of that. And so I would just reassure anyone who's going through grieving that it's a natural feeling, and that it just confirms that they love, and that is the beauty of love. But there's no fear in that, you know, there's loss, because you cannot lose this love. It is, those people are always with us.
One thing I admire about your series is that you have also crafted the images and painted them yourself as the covers, because when you look at it as a visual person, I just found it to be very therapeutic that you want to melt into that vision. What was the process like for you to decide what each cover would look like?
The covers and the dedications, all of these things came to me at different times in my mind as I would lay in bed, just before I would get up to write. I saw the cover of the first book. It was as though I was holding it, and I opened the cover and I saw the stars in the bed and the bedside table with the lamp glowing. And I tried to describe this to designers, to artists or illustrators, to explain what it looked like. And I simply could not convey it to the extent that it was so detailed. It was simply this picture. And I've not painted before. I started painting in COVID, just as a hobby to pick up with my daughter's paints because I just had time to kill. And I thought I can see it quite clearly in my mind what it looks like. I think that I just need to paint it myself. And that's what I did. All four of them came to me like that. And they're very, and the way that the titles ran down the side. And a lot of people have said that to me, that the cover is quite intriguing. And I really believe that whatever messages are contained in these books, it is a new love story for humanity. And it's meant to draw people to it. It's meant to entice people to pick it up and to read them, because that's how the message came through me. And I think that my role is, as I'm still working as an orthodontist, but is simply to work endlessly and tirelessly to bring this work to the people, because I think that the more people that read them, the more people can understand that what they are is love, and that the very definition of the word has been warped in our society, and that unlearning this conditioning, that this tolerance is really what we're doing, and really pursuing what is inside of us, that we are simply the like I said, the embodiment of love and the energy of love. And once we can tap into that, there is really just a liberation of our souls, and we can share this with others and just be the most creative and peaceful and light up. That's really, what is that light? It is that small voice, that light, that burning hope, the desire for kindness, for compassion for others. And that's what we're drawn to always as humans. And I think that that's what is the message. And I believe that those images just sort of convey that, what's held in those pages.
Revisiting the technical aspect of writing, did you enjoy the writing part or the editing part?
I very much enjoyed the writing part, not necessarily getting up at 4 a.m. That could have been a better time. I would have maybe asked a spirit guide later if I could get a later pickup date. That would be great. But I'm quite an early riser now. Editing, I found, like, I had to relive it, but editing I found quite tedious compared to the writing. Writing is an exceptionally powerful state of being, to simply be aware that whatever reality is going to become on that page, you are, in a sense, the creator. And so to recognize that, and the power in doing that, that as your pen writes, you are creating the reality on those pages in the book. It is absolutely an amazing feeling to be able to do that.
And for writers out there, new and those that are developing themselves, do you have any writing tip or a tip that you discovered through your own writing experience that may benefit them?
I have a couple important, what I feel is important for writing anytime. One is to use a pen. Simply because connected to the way that ink flows and the way that your penmanship will flow your energy through you, you don't make spelling mistakes. You don't make editing errors while you're writing with a pen. You simply continue. Whereas when we type, we sort of are reading and editing at the same time, which is disruptive to the flow. You can write short form. You can write, you can cross out quite quickly or write over it if you choose. So writing with a pen is much more, has a much easier flow to it, to write in the morning, because that is when you haven't been, you know, running into other thoughts. You're simply in that space where you're fresh every day. And so if you can write first thing in the morning, I think that the energy will flow better, and also to just write unimpeded by your own self-critic. To when you're writing, just simply write to create a body of work, and then you can go back and edit it. If you continually edit and criticize what you've written, you may never get something written. You're not going to write anything perfectly, and that's simply because you're in judgment. And to simply write and to create is the beauty of writing. And so allow yourself this gift, and don't be harsh or judgmental on what you're writing. You have lots of time to do that later.
And finally, Sonia, are there any projects that you're working on and you can let audiences know how they can support your work?
Right now, I'm currently just going through my final proof of Book 3, Dorchester. I've got the audiobook for Book 4 lined up, and Books 3 and 4 will be released this year. So all of the whole series, 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the Leave the Little Light On series, Windsor, London, Dorchester, and Woodstock, will all be released this year. So that's in all forms. So that's really what I've been working on. You can read about my work on my website, soniapalak.com, or follow me on TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram at Sonia Palak. And I love hearing from my readers. I love hearing the feedback and also the growth and the sort of the realizations that people hit, the epiphanies that the writing brings for them. It's very gratifying and very fulfilling. And so that's what I'm working on at the moment, is just completing this book series. And then I hope to possibly write something further in the future.
Wonderful. It was a pleasure learning more about you today, Sonia. And who knows, maybe there will be a Book 5 coming out.
Not in this series, Sasha, but there'll be others. But this one is definitely just a 4-book series. It had a very, very definite beginning and ending, and I'll be happy to just put that out to the world, and I hope that everyone reads them.
We look forward to what the future holds. Thank you so much for joining us on Writer Series.
Thank you, Sasha.